little bit. See if that increases your confidence. Find something you think you can't do and then do it anyway. Nothing will increase your faith in yourself like finishing first. Like most men, I married out of my league. I'm not someone most women would look twice at. Yet my wife is beautiful in every way, talented, and the kindest woman you will ever meet. How did I ever get the opportunity to meet her, let alone have the confidence to talk to her? I'm pretty sure it was the powder blue tights I was wearing the day that I met her. Our mutual friend Tony Thomas had invited her to come see the show Stars on Ice, and my last solo was a ballet comedy I was doing that year. My name was Hemscott Tiltonovich. Whatever it takes to get them on their feet. Some people might have felt insecure meeting a romantic interest in powder blue tights. But whatever it was that made me appealing to her that day, she's still here. Winning not only allows you to build confidence in yourself, but it also creates confidence in others and their image of you. It changes the way people interact with you, the way it changed how Tracy saw me that day. It builds trust, which becomes a platform for you to do whatever else you want to do. Once you have a proven track record, people are much more likely to trust you with just about anything. Where you used to have to fight to earn trust, you don't have to fight so hard anymore. Why would Target ask me to be their spokesperson for two Christmas holidays in a row, their biggest sales season? Because there was trust. My reputation preceded me, and they trusted that I would represent them well. How was I able to do 9 Disney television specials? All of these opportunities were offshoots of one decision to win. If I had come in 9th in nationals the year I won, I never would have met my wife. I cringe to think how different my life would have been if I had missed one of those wins. I never would be in a position to be doing the kind of work I'm doing today. I wouldn't have the marriage I have, the family I have, the life I have, the financial security I have. One win leads to another win leads to another win. Not to mention, I never would have been able to do all I've done for cancer research. At the end of the day, who cares what I did for competitive skating? If I can accomplish what I know is possible in the world of cancer, I'll know why I'm here. I'll have found my purpose. This is what finishing first is all about. Breaking through limitations and barriers, discovering your deepest purpose, and making the biggest impact in the world that you are capable of. As long as you are always reaching for greater depth, greater meaning, greater results, you'll never be bored. And pretty soon, if you keep going, it won't be about you anymore. It'll be about something so much bigger and better. When you start to see what a positive impact winning can have in your life, you stop giving yourself permission to falter. You stop making excuses. You stop worrying about what other people are going to say or what they are going to think. You finally take the leap you've been wanting to take, needing to take. You start to be the kind of person who finishes first. Your desires will shift. When I was at the top of my professional career, I was on top of the world, but I was also missing something. Being on the road all the time makes it hard to have any consistency in your life, any real relationships. You become close, in a way, with the people traveling with you, but otherwise, most of the people you see are strangers. Here one day, gone the next. When I met Tracy, that changed, but it wasn't really until my first son, Aiden, was born that I realized I needed to pivot my definition of success, of finishing first. I needed to adjust my priorities, to come off the road. I always half-joked that as far as professional skating was concerned, I milked that cow dry. This is one way you know when it's time to pivot, when there's no milk left in the cow. There's something so basic about the pursuit of material success. Money, fame, awards, promotions. I don't know anyone who hasn't at some point in his or her life at least had the desire to go after these things. In fact, I would argue that this is all part of the process, part of the finishing first. How can we be better tomorrow than we are today? What is the next level of success and how can I get there? At the same time, there comes a point in your life when you realize that the things you really want to win at now are different than they were in the beginning. When being the best husband you could possibly be fills the place of standing on a podium. When getting your kids on their feet about something like Disney World feels better than getting a stadium of strangers on their feet. And the shift doesn't have to be a big dramatic thing either. Sometimes you shift from one career to another. Maybe you shift from career to relationship or relationship to career. I shifted to being at home more often and off the road, but I also shifted in this phase of my life to being an author and a speaker. I shifted to do television broadcasting. People sometimes wonder when it's time to pivot away from one area of success and focus on another. And the truth is that often it's obvious. Sometimes life does the shifting for you. You lose somebody you love. You go through a divorce. You have a baby. But if you still need help knowing for sure, I always say a good gauge is when your level of satisfaction has diminished. I knew it was time for me to stop when the great shows didn't feel as great as the bad shows felt bad. That's when I could say, okay, the scales have tipped. It's time to look toward the next thing. The thing that had brought me so much joy before wasn't bringing me the same level of joy, and that's when I realized my heart had shifted to a new place. As soon as Aiden came on the scene, it was like, check, please. The thing I started to see was that once you start a family, you can only be as successful in your life as you are in your family. If your family suffers, everything else suffers with it. And so, for me, there has been no greater joy than finishing first in the context of my family. If you're driven to succeed, you may also find there is no greater challenge than finishing first with your family. Use this as your very reason to do it well. Make this your next marker of success. How can you be better than you've ever been for your spouse and your children? How can you be the best you've ever been in your relationships? Become successful where you've never been successful before, at home. It's also possible that you're listening to this book and you're single. You might be wondering when that time will come for you. If this is you, I want to say to you how grateful I am that I leveraged the time before I had a family to finish first in my career. I was 44 when I got married, and it was the right time for me. Not too early, not too late. Exactly the right time. So if you're wondering if it's too late for you, I would tell you there is no such thing. Stay on your path. The time will come for you, and when it does, it will change everything. How you participate in your family situation is an extension of where you are as a person. You cannot be for your family someone you aren't, period. Who you are becoming now will play a role in the kind of husband or wife you will be, the kind of mother or father you will be. Are you fully formed? Are you able to overcome failures? Are you the kind of person who does what you say you're going to do, who works hard, who keeps showing up? Finishing first will make you the strongest, most resilient you've ever been. Later, your family will thank you for it. The world you move in will change. We can skip all the drama and heartache that comes along with finishing first if we want to. We can skip the failure and the pain of failing. We can just sit on our couches and watch television. But what would we miss? When I look back at the life I've lived so far, I see a lot of pain. I failed constantly. But I learned from each of those failures, and none of my success would have been possible without them. They're all connected. My coach used to say whenever I complained about being in pain, the absence of pain is death. And he's right. Imagine if we didn't feel pain. Consider if we didn't have any suffering in our lives. How shallow would life be? Sure, we'd avoid the temporary uncomfortable feeling, but we'd also miss the amazing feeling of overcoming, the realization that we are so much stronger than we think. Most of us forget that the very things that seem to be working against us are actually working for us, if we're willing to see them that way. My life has been a series of accidents and setbacks that have all led me to where I am. The whole reason I succeeded in skating was because my life didn't go at all the way I wanted it to. If we never ran the marathon, we'd never get to cross the finish line. Someone could take you to the finish line of a marathon and let you step across the line, but it wouldn't mean much to you. But once you've run that marathon, once you've suffered every excruciating step, suddenly, stepping across the finish line is one of the greatest victories of your life. I don't know about you, but when I get to the end of my life, I want to be able to feel like I gave it everything I had. I left it all on the field. I pushed myself to the very limits of my human capacity. And as long as I'm here, I never want to be finished dreaming and pushing myself. The most amazing thing about success is that it builds on itself. Once you hit a critical mass, things start happening in a new way. Each little victory builds on the last, and you start to experience the most amazing momentum. It's motivating to keep pushing, keep stretching, keep reaching for the next thing. How can we be the kind of people who are constantly raising the bar? At some point, we all have to make a decision about what kind of life we're going to lead. Are we going to keep letting our fears, doubts, egos, and critics hold us back? Or are we done being that person and ready to be the person who shrugs it all off and says, I'm going for this anyway? Hebrews 12:1 says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Leaving everything behind and moving forward is the healthiest, best, strongest way to get to where you want to be. Think about if you never took a chance. What if, at the end of your days, you look back and saw nothing but squandered opportunity? How devastating would that be? All that is in front of you is more love, more happiness, more success, more joy than you've ever experienced before. That is, if you're willing to constantly push the limits, constantly raise the bar, constantly make this world a better place for us and for our children. Why would you ever dare to finish first? Why would you put in all the work, put in all the effort, take the risk, put yourself on the line? Because winning changes everything. It changes you, how you carry yourself, what you can and can't accomplish, the opportunities available to you, and the amount of beauty you're able to bring to the world. It also changes everyone around you. Winning raises the bar. It makes everyone better. It makes the world a better place. The kind of world I want to live in is a world where nobody is settling for what they were capable of yesterday. A world where people are breaking barriers and overcoming the limits that have been placed on them. And where we are all proving that anything is possible with faith, hard work, and dedication. To me, that is a much happier, more compelling world than the one where we hand out ninth place trophies and participation ribbons. What are you waiting for? Epilogue. Wins come in all shapes and sizes. When I was diagnosed with cancer in 1997, I realized this was the biggest competition of my life. I was on unfamiliar ground, meaning I didn't know anything about cancer or chemo or surgery or how to beat this disease. But at the same time, I realized I knew exactly what to do because I'd been training for this moment my entire life. Everything I had learned about winning and losing and fighting and becoming a champion would now inform how I faced this new challenge. There was only one choice, to win. That decision was literally life or death. I'm so grateful for what I've learned about uncovering my greatest potential, not only because it has earned me all of the most beautiful experiences of my life this far, but also because it saved my life. In writing this book, I meant for it to be broad in its application. By that, I mean that even if you don't consider yourself an athlete, or you don't see yourself as a particularly competitive person, I wanted the stories I told you here to motivate you to live, whatever that means for you. This is more than sports. It is more than business. It's more than family. It's more than personal ambitions. This book is meant to give you the fortitude to rise above whatever challenge is in your way. Once you know how to do this, you'll be prepared for anything. It occurred to me that perhaps you've made it this far in the book and you're still wondering, what am I going to do? In that case, I wanted to see if I could give you some practical help for getting started with your vision of finishing first. How to get started. People often ask me how they should know where to start. For some people, this stems from a lack of ideas. For others, it stems from too many ideas. They want to know which one to pick first. Regardless of which one sounds like you, my suggestion is the same. Start with something you've been putting off forever. You know what I mean. That nagging feeling that something is unfinished. We have 1,000 reasons we never get started with these projects, but what if you pushed aside your excuses and got going? This doesn't have to be special or profound. You can start by going to visit that friend or picking up the phone and calling a family member with whom you've been out of touch. You could read the book that's been sitting on your shelf for months, or you could finally sign up for that dance class. Go bowling, write a poem, make homemade bread, whatever is in your heart. Just find something you've been putting on the back burner and give yourself permission to do it. My family moved into the house we're living in 7 years ago, and ever since then, I've been meaning to clean out the garage. You know how this goes. It always gets scheduled for some time in the distant future and then gets pushed back because some other emergency comes up. In fact, if it weren't that with every rain and every time a car gets parked in the garage, the condensation builds and it's beyond hazardous, I probably never would have gotten around to it. But thankfully, since I'm interested in avoiding my wife needing a total hip replacement, I decided one Saturday to just bite the bullet and do it. Of course it was inconvenient. Of course there were 1,000 other things I could think of doing on a Saturday. Of course I thought about putting it off again. And at the same time, we sometimes exert far more effort avoiding something than we would if we would just get over ourselves and get it done. So I got out there one Saturday and I put in the work. I organized and purged and cleaned and made space. Once I got into it, I realized it wasn't that hard and wondered why it had taken me so long to get started. Then when everything was done, I came back in the house in the late afternoon and had that familiar feeling that makes all the effort worth it. It's like, victory! We finished something! We let go of all of our excuses. We got off the couch and accomplished something we've wanted to do for such a long time. The thing with finishing something is it creates space. It opens up room. So now you can move on to the next thing, something perhaps that's more fun or more exciting or that you want to do more than cleaning out the garage. There's something to say for building momentum. The first thing on the list doesn't have to be profound. In fact, if you start with the easiest thing on your list, you're 100% more likely to actually get it done. And when it's out of the way, out of your mental and emotional space, what will you do with the room that's opened up? What is the next idea or dream you'll chase? Finish first for you. Of the 7 billion people on the planet, no two are the same, which means winning for you will be as unique as you are. There is no right or wrong way to do this. There are no rules. If being successful in business doesn't sound that interesting to you, then don't do it. If making money doesn't make your heart leap a little, then leave that ambition for someone else. If writing poetry sounds like a drag, then that doesn't have to be the way you finish first. What is it that would make you feel like you fulfilled your purpose on this planet? This is your story to write, your victory to have. These are your ambitions to pursue. I'm not interested in helping everyone win an Olympic gold medal. That's my story. It doesn't have to be yours. I'm interested in helping you uncover the joy and meaning that's found in you becoming a better version of you than you ever dreamed you could be. This is not just about having a goal. It's about how having a goal permeates every part of your life. It's about having ambitions that strengthen who you are as a person. And for each and every one of us to reach the pinnacle of our own unique purpose, it will not only change your individual world, but it will also change the world itself. how faith plays a role. Over the 2017 Memorial Day weekend, right after I finished writing this book, something happened. I went from playing Uno with my son one night to waking up the next morning with every neurological symptom you can imagine. I was going in and out of consciousness, and time was jumping. Almost the feeling you get when you wake up and then close your eyes for a second, but really 2 hours have passed. I'd be sitting there looking at my wife, and I'd feel myself starting to go away. Then, all of a sudden, I'd be back. I took an ambulance ride to Vanderbilt University Medical Center and was admitted immediately to neurological ICU. I suddenly realized this might be it, the end. And you know what? I was okay with it. I was at peace. When I thought back on my life, I realized that I had no regrets, that I had done what I came here to do. That's actually an amazing feeling. When you come to the end of everything and realize it's all going to be okay. The doctors kept asking me how I was feeling, and I told them I was seeing double or triple. Only one doctor would be standing there, but I would see two or three. Then I would try to reach my hand up to scratch my head, but my hand would flop around. I had no motor ability whatsoever. The doctors checked all of the obvious concerns. My white count was stable, and I had no fever. They scanned the tumor, and it was the same size it had always been. My symptoms had come on all at once, and they couldn't figure out what it meant. If my body was a battery, I felt like I was down to 1%. Tracy came over to check on me, and I was still moving in and out of consciousness, but I decided it was probably time to give her my last words. So I started telling her the things I wanted her to know and what I wanted our kids to know before it was all over. We prayed together. We said the Lord's Prayer several times and prayed for God's power, the love and healing of Jesus Christ. We prayed for it all. And then again, I drifted off. 2 hours later, I woke up and saw Tracy there, in the same place where she had been standing when I fell asleep. "Are you okay?" I heard her ask. I thought about it for a moment, scanned my body, took a deep breath. Then I looked at her and said resolutely, "Actually, I feel a lot better." Having survived that little setback, I've been reminded in a number of ways that the bodies we've been given are temporary, that they are extremely fragile but hold the capacity to be incredibly resilient. Every day is not just a gift but an opportunity. On my 50th birthday, when I thought about my mother and realized she died at 49, I reminded myself once again that I needed to do something that matters in the second half of my life. Life is temporary and fragile, but we are phenomenally powerful and resilient. What do you want to do with your life wherever you are in it? While we're here, it is my belief that we are responsible to do as much good as possible. There is so much goodness in you that is yet to be discovered. So much beauty that is still unfolding. What are some of the things you've been wanting to do but have been putting off? I'm hoping that the words in this book will inspire you to live those dreams, those goals, those desires with greater joy in the challenge. Go get them. When you get to say, "I win." I'm sure your life hasn't been easy. We all have challenges we face. These things happen, I believe, so that we see God's hand in it. So that when he moves, as he always does, we can point to that as a reminder of how powerful he is and how much he loves us. It's not an easy road, but when we cling closely to him, he reveals himself to us and to the world around us. Winning, ultimately, has everything to do with him and nothing to do with us. The glory is all his. On October 29, 1997, 6.5 months after my first cancer diagnosis, chemotherapy, and surgery, I gave a comeback show at the Forum in Los Angeles. After I finished my performance, which was physically and emotionally taxing, they handed me a microphone. They wanted to know my thoughts. I was silent for a moment, longer than normal, and then when I finally spoke up, I spoke clearly and resolutely. The first two words were, "I win."
You've been listening to the audio production of Finish First. Text copyright 2018 by Scott Hamilton. Production copyright 2018 by Thomas Nelson. No portion of this recording may be reproduced without the prior written consent of the publisher. For more information on other books and audio products from Thomas Nelson, please visit your favorite retailer or visit us online at thomasnelson.com. Finish First was recorded at Paragon Studios in Franklin, Tennessee.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.